Well, every season, it seems like Perseverance Theater finds a way to take the performing arts to a new level. Last year, we were treated to the musical Fun Home, a story about a lesbian woman with a gay father who was in denial. And then we also had Brothers Paranormal, written by a Thai playwright with a mostly Asian cast. Live audiences, a sign that we were beginning to emerge from COVID. This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Thank you, everyone, for being here with us. And here today to kind of lift the curtains on the next season, we have Leslie Ishii, who is Artistic Director for Perseverance Theater, and Joseph Biagini, an Associate Producer. What a wonderful Italian name. I just love those names. So let's talk a little bit about, Leslie, how you go about choosing your plays for the next season.
Oh, first of all, Rhonda, thank you so much for having us back in. It's always a pleasure to see you and get to chat with you.
Same here. I always enjoy kind of hearing the backstory of these productions because there's always one.
Yes. Well, a couple of things. As artistic director, people probably think I choose the plays. But what I really love is it's a team effort with our entire staff at Perseverance Theater. And we go department by department to make sure that any particular candidate, you know, who might be slated for the next season will work well for all departments. So I love that we're a great team in our season planning. And with this season opener, it's a world premiere by Frank Henry Kosh Katas called Where the Summit Meets the Stars. And I'm going to toss the baton to Joseph, because actually Joseph was working with this play even before I came on to Perseverance Theater when we started our new chapter.
Yeah, it was one of the first new plays I got a chance to get involved in. And I think it was about 2017 when I was an apprentice at the theater, and it was first being commissioned. So I'm very excited to see it come to its world premiere fruition now. And we think it's going to be an excellent show, and we're very happy with our planning. And we're about to go into rehearsal.
That's really exciting to have an original play written by someone locally. And I guess, will he direct the play as well? Will Frank do that?
That's right. Frank's like a local and even a national superstar. You know, his plays have been out there nationally now for some time. He's commissioned by Arena Stage now. As most folks here know, he's been writing for Bali of Denali, teaches in our schools, has worked with Perseverance, certainly. This is not the first time, so we're just really excited to have him back. And, you know, COVID hit, so that threw everything into a bit of a spin as we had to shutter. But we're so excited that we were able to be back in person last season, and we're just building on that momentum to keep going with in-person theater. So we're really excited and grateful. Our community's been great partners in supporting our in-person season. So, yes, and, well, Ed Littlefield will be back, too, right?
He's a fantastic percussive artist here. He is based down in Seattle but comes to Juno very often to teach traditional Tlingit song. And he has a very pivotal role in this show. He will be on stage and performing live sound as well as doing a sort of Foley sound effect throughout the production.
And Foley is kind of this method of making soundtracks.
Right.
Like on in the old days of radio, if you heard the ka-thump, 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 ka-thump of the horse, that was done with a Foley method of making
sound. Yeah, they took coconut shells and clapped them together for that.
Exactly.
So what kind of Foley soundscapes are you envisioning for this play?
Well, an exciting part about it is we're excited to feel the sounds of Alaska in the show. So one of the sounds in the show, we call for a whale's blowhole. And how do you make that live on stage?
Yeah.
So Ed's practice led him to come up with the idea of pouring water down into a bugle and then blowing it out so you get that nice blowhole sound.
Oh, my goodness.
It's all types of creativity and experimentation that comes together for a great artistic purpose.
I hope you take pictures of that.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. We need to get some little bit of footage on that, right? And what we love is this is an Alaska Native, a Tlingit story driven by music, dance, You know, and the culture of the Tlingit peoples, Frank is so beautiful about really capturing that in his plays. You know, I first heard this play, even, I guess, after you started working on
it. I mean, there was
Joseph.
Probably a reading of it first.
Yeah, and I first actually heard this play at Native Voices down in Los Angeles, one of our legacy Native theaters in this country. And I remember sitting there, and I had met Frank a little bit prior to that from guest directing up here. With Perseverance. And I remember sitting in the audience, and I'm born and raised in Seattle, so I think about the Northwest. So I thought, oh, he captures the southeast of Alaska, the great Northwest, better than any playwright I know. He just, the feel. And with Ed's collaboration, I feel like you're going to really be in for a treat.
Yeah, it feels so familiar. And at the same time, he's setting up this magical, ethereal, otherworldly landscape for us to play with.
And of course, all of this is built around a great story. So in a nutshell, give us the Cliff Notes version of the storyline for this play without giving too much away.
Absolutely. So when a near-death experience derails her flight through southeast Alaska, Rose awakens to find herself in the care of a kind man who pulled her to safety. But who is this mysterious stranger, and how is it possible that she survived? They journey by boat through the darkness and fog and untangle the mysteries of her past, question the world around her, and come to an inescapable crossroads.
So Rose is our central character, and then this person who rescues her almost reminds me of Saint Exupéry's Little Prince, Le Petit Prince, the story of a pilot who's stranded in the desert, and this little prince comes to visit him and asks him a lot of annoying questions.
And you know, with Frank Katz, there's always humor and beautiful pathos. You know, there's depth. So I'm really excited. Everyone who has read the script is like, wow, that's a great play. And that's what's powerful about this season, is we have great texts, great plays that are at the foundation of our season, yeah.
Well, one that I'm kind of curious about, because this one seems kind of experimental and kind of like some of the work that Perseverance has done in the past to kind of explore and push boundaries, bring new voices into the theater. But Little Women is one of your plans, but I don't think it's like the Little Women that we know from movie fame. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about how this play is a little bit different than what we might have seen in the past.
Yeah. Well, Little Women is adapted by Kate Hamill. So it's one of the most recent adaptations. And Kate's known for her adaptations, whether it be Jane Austen, you know, just other long ago kind of female writers, right, novelists. And so we're really excited. She's been really deemed one of the best writers that can adapt these works. So we're really excited to have this script. Again, we're working with a fantastic script to begin with. And this show really, like you said, pushes boundaries. It really gets us to question gender roles. We were just talking about this earlier, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Gender presentation and our expectations of each other. And really, she does a great job of getting at that question of what is a woman and trying to talk about that in the circumstances of this family throughout the show.
So will it be set kind of in the original period?
Yes. It will. And yet she's got such a really interesting analysis, a contemporary analysis, that she brings into that adaptation in that period and looking at roles, right? And it, like, you know, we were thinking too, here we are navigating these difficult times through a pandemic, right? And they were navigating their world and their roles through the Civil War, being poor and all those hardships. So we just thought, the way they learn about each other, deepen their relationships to get through those hard times, those challenges. We thought there's something beautiful about that parallels today's world, too.
Well, what is it about Louisa May Alcott that that play, in that story, the book, and movies about this endure and get revisited? What is it about that, about her work?
Yeah, you're right. It has endured. There's been many adaptations and movies, right? I think it's that, especially at that time, having women be centered in the storytelling was not usual. And that's still kind of true, actually. We're still working at that, right? It's gotten a lot better. And now I think we're being able to go even deeper with examining gender roles, like you said, pushing the boundaries, how we present, how we identify.
She does such a great job at crafting each of the sister characters, too, to be so different from each other, but so similar, the same way some sisters you might know in real life are.
Yeah, it's really relatable. And even I love how the dialogue goes. The sisters get into some arguments, and they're like, It's like, oh, yeah, that's an argument I've had with my sibling. But how they come out the other side of that, too, is what's really awesome. It's inspiring.
And, of course, it seems like the Civil War is kind of this milestone in American culture and history. So many things were being debated and explored at that time. So how do we see a modern twist on social justice? And you know, you mentioned that gender is one that is revisited. Do we look at social justice in this adaptation?
Yeah, we do, especially through the lens of class. Mm-hmm. And the March family is not well off. And they have well off relatives, but maybe they have to appease those relatives to be able to get by on a day-to-day basis. And the struggles they face as a family trying to make ends meet is something we still go through.
Yeah, those same issues that of the Civil War around race, class, like we were saying, gender, we still are grappling with all those things in a contemporary setting, so or in our society today. So it's actually really interesting to see how far we've come, but how far we have yet to go, too. So I think it's a great examination, but it's great humor. It's really relatable. And what I'm really excited about is the costuming. Because we are still in that period where the costumes are really wonderful. They're awesome, and you know.
And what a story you can tell with costumes.
And how about
period.
The sets, the period pieces?
Yeah, we're really excited about all the theatricality, yes.
So we've got one more play to talk about, The Great Leap by Lauren Yee. So I'm presuming she's Chinese?
Yes, she's Chinese-American, and she grew up in the San Francisco Chinatown. And her father played basketball. And it's really interesting play that looks at, San Francisco Chinatown in the late 80s, or actually early 70s, but then into the late 80s. And then they have this friendship game with China. So our U.S.-Chinese relations, right? So the title is really interesting as it looks at that post sort of cultural revolution era in China, and how they're working to make there's a lot of social unrest to make that great leap to democracy. And then there's this real interpersonal character who goes through their own journey of making the great leap to examine their own legacy, their own family ties to China.
And let's not forget about all the leaps happening in basketball, too.
Definitely.
Yeah, so it's got a lot of layers.
It's a good metaphor.
Truly.
So, and you're directing this one, right?
I am. Yeah.
And because I remember that, weren't you directing the Brothers Paranormal as well?
Actually, I didn't direct that one.
You didn't. But
Randy
you,
Reyes directed that one.
Oh, you
one,
performed in that.
Yes. I'm not performing in this one. That works out fine.
Well, you played this lovely, for lack of better words, Thai little old lady.
Right? Yeah, it was fun. It was a great cast, too. And I feel like we're kind of building on that momentum as well with the theatricality and continuing to bring the Asian Pacific Islander voice to our main stage, you know?
And this playwright, Lauren Yee, is one of my personal favorites. She's prolific and one of the most popular working, living playwrights of our day in this country. She has such a terrific comedic banter, fast-paced script. It really feels like a game of scrimmage in the dialogue, the way the characters interact with each other. She's so funny.
Mm-hmm. She's awesome writer.
In basketball. Being a part of this.
Well, and how could we not consider this play when basketball is one of the most popular indoor sports in Alaska.
Especially Southeast Alaska.
Yes.
The tournaments are huge community events, year events.
I played basketball in junior high and high school, so I have a little bit of a love for this piece because of that, too. It takes me back.
So how are you going to weave that into the play?
Well, we'll see. We're going to be casting, so we don't want to make it a prerequisite, but if you have a little basketball experience or even love of basketball, that will help as we cast. But
we know people know their basketball here,
so we
can't get that part wrong in the show. So
truly.
When we're doing our choreography, if you will, during the play, we'll make sure that is accurately depicted.
Yes. I'm excited to see how we might weave it in, the spirit of the game, the scrimmage, and actual maybe a few moves.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you for giving us sort of a sneak peek of what we can look forward to this season from Perseverance. So thanks for telling us kind of what goes into these choices. Leslie Ishii, she's the artistic director of Perseverance Theater, and Joe Biagini. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Biagini. Good Italian name. And he's the associate producer. And any final thoughts before we go?
Just our deepest gratitude to KTOO, who will be one of our sponsors this season, too. So we love working with them, and we're grateful. And if you want to volunteer or come and work with us and collaborate or work part-time even, come and join us. Contact us.
Yeah. All righty. Well, we always enjoy being part of the mix. It's exciting to see what Perseverance comes out with every year. Thanks so much.